The stairs were carved into the rock and curved to the right as they descended, so Mardy couldn't see all the way down. They seemed to go on for ages, but then they opened up into a large cave or room. It was even larger than the house, with passages branching off in all directions. Mardy was left speechless. She had never expected to find something like this. Next, she removed her belt, a challenging task given her circumstances. She hooked the belt buckle over the pocket knife and swung the belt behind her, hoping it would loop around the branch so she could catch it as it swung around to the other side. However, despite her efforts, she was unable to grasp the belt as it came around. Taking a brief pause to catch her breath, she could see the belt, but it remained just out of her reach. Mardy spent her initial days engrossed in the realm of old technology, poring over books that delved into the mysteries of the past. With each page turned, she discovered a world long gone, yet captivating in its intricacies. From there, she ventured into novels, immersing herself in the tales woven by authors. With the fire established, she collected her bow and quiver. Just as Hutch was momentarily distracted by a horse's whinny, he turned back to find Mardy had disappeared. The thought crossed his mind. She's like, well, a ghost. He's about 7, maybe 8 miles ahead of us. I've seen his smoke, Mardy reported. Hutch was taken aback. How did you manage that? Mardy pointed towards a towering pine tree. I climbed that tree. Hutch was left speechless, his eyes fixed on the enormous tree that seemed almost impossible to climb, at least in his eyes. It's time we got going. Her thoughts turned to her father, mother, and brother. Where were they? Had they given her up for dead? Had Victor's thugs caught up with them? She had no way of knowing. But she did know their next few stops, and the ones after that. She was determined to catch up with them, no matter how long it took. Scar walked over, his voice dripping with menace. When we get back, I'll let Victor decide your punishment. Victor will enjoy this. He might even turn your punishment into a public event, a demonstration of what happens to someone who doesn't do their duty. A sudden, jarring knock echoed through the room, abruptly rousing Mardy from her slumber. She lay there, momentarily disoriented, her eyes adjusting to the soft tendrils of daylight that danced through the partially open shutters she had neglected to close the night before. "Breakfast's ready now. Eat it while it's hot," came a voice from the other side of the door, its warmth barely masking the urgency. Pain seared through her body as she came to an abrupt halt. It was a tree. She clung to a branch for dear life, preventing any further descent, and then everything faded to black. When Mardy regained consciousness, the sun was high in the sky, its searing rays beating down on her neck. She found herself stranded on a tree protruding from the rocky cliffside, and as she turned her head, she realized she was a good 50 yards below the top of the cliff. Pain coursed through her body. Her leg, face, and ribs all ached. She had landed between two large branches that split the tree trunk in two, and now she was wedged between them. However, Ivor remained unresponsive, appearing as though he was asleep. Thinking Ivor had nodded off, Gregor gave him a gentle shake. But to his shock, Ivor slumped to one side, unmoving. In a panic, Gregor dropped the drinks and rushed back to the campfire, grabbing a torch to illuminate the area, uncertain of what he might discover. Returning to Ivor's side, he immediately noticed a large knife protruding from Ivor's chest. He checked for any signs of life, but it was clear that Ivor had been dead for hours.